Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
Blessings, everybody. Blessings. It's exciting to be here with you tonight. We are back in our mode with Faith for Family Nights on Friday. I'm excited. We'll be relaunching again our prophetic roundtable on Mondays. We're just getting back into the swing of things. We had a season of break and many seasons of breakthrough. So we're excited to be back here with you. Tonight is our building family. Supposed to be with Apostle Crystal Lee and my brother Apostle Lancer tonight. I don't know if he's going to be able to make it. He's got some things that are tying him up tonight. However, he will be on with us again, but we're going to go ahead and forge forward. Our topic tonight is family gatekeepers, and this is just part one. So we're going to go ahead and forge forward tonight. We're going to open up the lines. If you have questions, we'd love to do some interaction with you. That's what these broadcasts are all about. It's about interacting and sharing. And really just releasing what the Father is saying and allowing that thing to cause us to grow up into the head, which is the Mashiach, that we might be followers of the way, that we might follow the way that's been set before us. So I'm excited again to be here with you tonight. The strength and longevity of building begins with foundation. And I believe Faith for Family's mandate is to bring the family into kingdom lifestyle through the word of Yah in power and in demonstration. Our dedication and focus is to the breaking of strongholds which are keeping the family from being the expression of heaven and the earth. And we know what that expression is. As it is in heaven, so should it be in the earth. It is the right and inheritance of every son to come into the covenant place, which brings to the manifestation of the promises of Yah. We've got to understand that, that it is our right. It is our inherent right. As sons, we are not just sons without something. We are sons that have been made to have something, to carry something. One of the things I love about the word in the very beginning, as the Father begins to talk to his pantheon of those that he is in covenant with in the heavens to create mankind, he says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And I'm excited about that topic. That's a topic for a whole nother discussion, but go and take a look at that. One of the things that he begins to talk about, he says, and he said, let us make. And then he says, and let them have. So there is a making before there is a having. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is an order of Yah. We've got to begin to follow the divine orders of Yah to come to that blessed place, to come to that place of blessing and fulfillment. Then we don't have to go looking for it in other places. So it's that covenant place that brings us into the manifestation of the promises of Yah. And every promise of Yah is yes and amen. I love it. Yes, and it is so. Everything that he promises to us, it doesn't come with apprehension. It comes with fulfillment. It comes with him following after his word to perform it. And all we have to do is just simply come into alignment with what he's saying. Yah created family, and there is great value in all of his creation. He said it was all good. Everything that he creates, he said, it is good. You know, and then when he saw the man all by himself in the perfect place, listen to what I'm saying. This is what he gave me to share with you tonight. I have this written down because we're in the season of the scribe. And we've got to make sure that we are scribing the thing that we're releasing. We want to make records of what we're releasing. I'm encouraging you, if you're listening to this broadcast tonight, that if you are a scribe, if you know that you've been assigned, that you've been graced to write some things down, that inspiration is for the next generation. And so he said that he created family and there is great value in all of his creation. Notice that with everything, he says it's good. Then he looks upon the man. He's not finished creating yet. I don't think that he had a brain fart. I don't think that he had some moment where he was like, oh, you know what? I forgot. I'm not done. No, no, no. He just takes the time to allow us to see the fact that in between the creation of man and the creation of woman, there was something missing, which gives us to understand and to know that he called the man and the woman to work together, that they are a unified front. They are a unified force. And so this is what he says. When he saw the man all by himself in the perfect place, notice he said in the perfect place, in the garden, which his own hands planted and his own voice filled. Listen to this. His own hands, the Father's own hands planted that garden and his own voice filled it. All of those let there be were about the filling of that place, everything producing after its own kind. And then he looks upon the man that he creates and he knows that he's not done. That's not the end of the matter. He's not confused about that, but he wants us to understand that he couldn't just stop there. There was something more to fulfill purpose. There was something more to create this force in the earth that could be unstoppable. And it was the woman connected with the man. And so it says, when he got done and he noticed the man by himself in the perfect place, the garden, which his own hands planted and his own voice filled for the first time during the process of creation, he recognized and vocalized. It wasn't just a recognition like, oh, I forgot. No, no, no. He was recognizing before us this was going to be written. He understood that this inspiration was going to be for another generation. So he verbally recognized the need to complete the man by taking out of him an elemental foundation. His own kind was created by Yah, and this was the foundation, the platform. Are you hearing me? That was built for the family. This was the place. This was the platform that was built for the family. Everything after its own kind is what the Father designed. And there is an adversary. We got to understand this. This is why we're talking about gatekeepers. You don't really need a gatekeeper unless you got to keep something in or keep something out. We're going to talk about that just a little bit. Matter of fact, while I'm there, I'll just mention it because we've been in the season of Passover. We just came out of the season of Passover just a day ago, 2 days ago, really, but a day ago. And so that whole process, one of those areas, one of those dimensions of Passover required that the Hebrew children kill an animal, kill a goat. And after they killed that goat, they were to pour the blood out and to dip some hyssop into a bucket and to strike the lintel and the side posts. Why? Because it was necessary for something to pass over. You understand what I'm saying? It says the original intent, everything after its own kind is what the Father designed. There is an adversary who lost his first estate. You got to understand this adversary is the one that we have to be very mindful of, because even in this place where they are in Goshen, right outside of Egypt, where they're in Goshen, and this sacrifice is made, this platform is built on the family from the very beginning. And what the adversary wants to do is he wants to destroy the thing that the Father has chosen as a vehicle in the earth to manifest and to perpetuate his glory. And so we're looking at this thing, everything after its own kind. And what does the adversary want to do? He wants to creep in and create a kind after by using the kind that's already been created. He doesn't create his own kind, so to speak, but he must take the thing that's already been created and contaminate it at its level of DNA, at its level of reproduction, of its level of production and producing, so that it can become the thing that he can speak through, the thing that he can use. And so we recognize these things from the beginning. There's an adversary who has lost first estate, first position, original intent. You know, such an one burns with desire, that's diabolic desire, and perverted passions to compromise the creation of Yah. This is why we need gatekeepers. And there are gatekeepers of all kinds. Even the adversary has gatekeepers. You got to understand that all of the New Age and all of the diabolic natured things in the earth, the witchcraft, all of those different things, they require gatekeepers, those that are to be positioned to keep the gates, to keep things out and to keep things in. That's why I was mentioning the children of Israel, because that was an hour to keep something out and to keep something in. And so that was the purpose that I mentioned it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I could not remember why I was mentioning that. But that was the purpose of that, was to keep something out, which was the death that was going to come to the Egyptians firstborns, to keep death out of their house and to keep them inside. They were to stay behind the instruction that was given to them. Stay behind the instruction. We're going to talk a little bit more about instruction tonight. But this adversary, and I'm purposely not calling it him, I'm purposely not calling it she. There are some things that the Father's really talking to me about. And, you know, so we're not going to add that to the adversary. We're just going to recognize the adversarial position, because as far as I'm concerned, a lot of the adversarial character really resembles a female. Now, we understand that that is part of what is perpetuated in the earth, this whole feminine nature, and this is why men want to become women, but then we got men, women that want to become men, and all of these different things. But there is a perversion to that which the adversary carries. And I believe that the patience of this adversary, the longevity of this adversary, most male, anything that's in the male form usually deals with a thing and they're past it. But a female can kind of hold on to a thing for a long time, just hold on to it and just kind of chip away at some things. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But this adversary, like I said, who has lost first estate, first position, original intent, This one burns with diabolic desire and perverted passion to compromise the creation of Yah. So tonight, I want you to lift your anticipation and your expectation for conception, and let's identify the due date or the arrival season for you to birth your next, as we release and you receive strong prophetic words and expository teaching and instruction, releasing faith for family. That's where we are right now. Our topic tonight will be an introduction. This is part one in this series, The Family Gatekeepers. This is important. Let us walk through the manual, which is the Word of Yah, and identify the language and the codes for proper building on this topic. As the word has given us everything we need for the success and the understanding for the life that we're living in. And so this is really crucial. This is really important. We talked about this over the last couple of weeks in Torah, just dealing with the fact that language is the one thing that allows us access or can be a barrier to us. And so we need to understand the language of Yah tonight and look into the blueprint and look into the code that he's given us to function on this level called family, and understand and identify the definition of what it means to keep the gates. What is a gate? What are the keepers of gates? What does that look like? This is all very important. So I'm going to open up one of my notes here as well, because this is really important. I've got a couple of things that I want to share with you here. We want to look at just two things here. I want you to just look at the dynamics of this. I'm not going to allow you to turn to the verses tonight, but I want you to look at the dynamics of this. We have two Adams here. We have a first Adam and a second Adam, and both are gatekeepers. What's a gatekeeper? It's one that manages. It's one who judges a thing, but it's also one who is positioned to protect, okay? A gatekeeper is a manager. They must be well at management and judgment and protecting. But I want you to see both of these Adams as having been presented with like temptation. They've both been presented with like temptation. However, the difference between the two is that the Mashiach weighs the implications and the ramifications of this temptation. Adam doesn't take the time to weigh the implications and the ramifications of his movement concerning the temptation. The father is the ultimate gatekeeper. We know that. He builds a thing and then he installs the gates and instructs the watchers, the keepers of said gates, how to manage. This is where we come into instruction. And we are still talking about family, but I want to give you some foundational dynamics here as it pertains to the word. Instruction is imperative for keeping gates. We got to understand this. I'm going to read the thing that he gave me before that. It says that he builds, the father, he is the one that builds the thing. He installs the gates and instructs the watchers. I want you to see that the master is the porter. I want you to see the master as the porter. He's the one that opens and allows those to come into and go out of. You need to see this, because no man cometh to the Father but by him. He is the one that must open up the gate. He's the porter that opens and allows us passageway. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when you look at a gatekeeper, you got to identify them as one who is a judge of a matter. Not only do they judge matters, but they also manage matters and they protect the matters at hand, okay? So we look in here, instruction is imperative for keeping gates. The Father gave instructions to the Mashiach. He knew that his purpose was to come and give his life, not just give his life, his own life, but to offer his life in the replacement of ours. He was the one that carried our sin. He was the one that carried the weight of all of the iniquitous issues of our family lineages. You understand what I'm saying? It says the chastisement of our peace. He was punished for our peace. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So what he was carrying as a family gatekeeper, he was keeping our gates by making the sacrifice. Even as that first Passover lamb, the blood was put on our lintels and on our side posts. And we have to stay behind the instructions. We have to stay behind the instructions. Now, the Bible talks about, you know, children obeying their parents in Yapa. This is right. But the Bible also discusses in Proverbs that parents are to train up a child in the way that they should go. There are instructions that are given. The purpose of the instruction is to keep the gate, is to keep a thing behind a thing and to keep a thing out of a thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let me go on back up to the top here. Something's happening here. Let me not lose my notes here. I want to definitely stay on point here, because I don't know how long we're going to be on, but I want to get through this place because this is the foundation. So look at here. Instruction is imperative for keeping the gates. Instruction regarding access and denial. As family gatekeepers, the family responsibility, those that are in authority, our responsibility is to keep the gates. And many of us had not this information in another season, because if we had this kind of information in that season, there would be some decisions that would have been different. But thanks be to Yah, we made it through some places. We got out of some things and we're on the other side of that. And we live to tell those that are in this generation and in the generations to come that there is a necessity to keep the family gates. There is a necessity. We've got families in the earth right now. You know, everything operates by family. The Father never instituted the blessing. He never created the blessing except for it be something that the family. You know, when he speaks to Abraham, he speaks to Abraham and he releases the blessing to him, and it's for nations. He said, in you, all of the nations of the earth, all of the families, of the earth will be blessed in you. In other words, this blessing is not just for you. It's a perpetual blessing that is for family, because that was the foundation of what he desired to carry his glory from the heavens into the earth. He wanted us to be the mirror image of what he was doing in the heavens. He understood all that was going on in the earth. He understood that this adversary that we have has left first estate, original intent, all of that. He understood that he was cast down because he cast him out. You know, he allowed Angel and Gabriel, he allowed the angels of Yah that maintained in their estate to cast him out. They fought. There was a battle in the heavens. There was a war. War was declared against the angels of Yah by those that desired to take his place, by the very one that desired to take his place, and he found backup for that. But when we look at that, there are families in the earth that have specific things that they are gatekeepers of, and we'll get to that. They are gatekeepers of these things. They are gatekeepers of economic systems. They are gatekeepers of intelligence systems. They are gatekeepers over religious systems. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And now these same gatekeepers want to be, they want to exercise control over the private sectors of the minds of men, okay? We'll come back to that in a minute. Let's keep going with the notes here. Here we go. Let's go back here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Instruction is imperative for keeping the gate. And it's so funny because it seems that every time the Father has me moving in this, in a new conversation, in a new dynamic, there's always something that happens with my eyes. In other words, he's reminding me of the kinds of ears that I'm speaking into. He's reminding me of the kind of eyes, and we're going to talk about the gates in just a minute, those eyes, ears, and the mouth. But he's reminded me of that because I haven't had this particular faith, this particular situation since we started reading the Bible in 30 days. And in that hour, there was a issue or a situation where my eyes began to blur and this kind of thing. And I was feeling that very same thing as I was writing my notes today, just jotting down some of the things that the Spirit of Yah has been talking to me about concerning this particular topic. Eyes begin to do that thing again. So I recognize the ears that I'm speaking into and the eyes that I'm speaking into. And maybe since I'm here, I should begin to decree and to declare that those that have ears to hear would break past the captivities and the bondages of those things that have blinded you and caused you not to see and not to properly hear. Opening up the ears, Father, we thank you right now. We declare and decree that ears would be open and available to hear the sound of heaven, that as people are aligning themselves with your word, that their eyes are being recalibrated, their ears are being fine-tuned, and their frequency is resonating with the frequency of heaven in this hour to create the dynamics in the earth that heaven has already functioned in, heaven is already operating in. We thank you right now that there will be ears and eyes from all over the world that are listening to this broadcast, that are coming into this dimension of understanding the gates being kept. We give you glory, honor, and praise that you were the original gatekeeper and that you sent your son to help us identify after all of those deliverers, after all of those people of great significance that were sons before the Mashiach was the only begotten son. You sent him into the earth to show us how to walk in the earth suit. And so we thank you for him walking out the pattern, walking out the blueprint, that we might take those things that he has left for us and begin to build the proper dynamics for this walk that we're for this life that we're living in, and for the walk that we must maintain. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Hallelujah. We give you praise right now. Thank you, Father. So again, the instructions are imperative. Instruction is imperative for keeping the gates. Instruction regarding access and denial. And that's one of the things, you know, as the Bible discusses training up children in the way that they should go. This is important that we be reminded and be mindful of their gates, not just our gates. We have to be mindful of both our gates and their gates. We have to be managers of multiple gates because we've got to mind our own mind. We've got to mind our own environments, and we've got to understand that they are a part of that environment. And so they have gates as well, and we've got to begin to manage their minds and manage their gates. We got to begin to give them instruction that they can live by. When I say live, I'm not just talking about existence, but instructions that they can live, that they can fulfill purpose by. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I was just talking to one of my apostolic sisters on the phone, and that conversation came up, and I didn't think it was by chance that something came up that sparked this in me. I was thinking about a relationship that I was in some years ago, and in that relationship, there were children around. There were children involved that were identifying the relationship. They were seeing the wellness of that relationship. But in the degradation of that relationship, even today as I was taking these notes, the Holy Spirit began to call me back into that place. And I began to press forward in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, concerning those children that were a part of our lives in that season, because my concern became, Father, what are they seeing? What have they seen? What are they looking upon? And how is this framing them? How is this shaping them? I even thought about my own children. You know, we've been through some things as it pertains to family, and some gates were unkept because there were some things that were void in my own life. And so I made some decisions into as far as the mates that I would choose, the mates that I chose, and those things have affected my children. However, all things work together for the good of them that love Yah and are called, be called according to his purpose. So yes, these things are going to work together for their good. The outcome of this thing is going to be good because I've actually given them the things that they need to live by. I've actually trained them up in a way that they should go. Now, there was some interruption in that training on many sides of the fence, but I'm recognizing in this hour that even those interruptions, and this is what I'm believing for these children that were connected to that relationship that I'm speaking of, even though there were some interruptions to what they saw, even though there were some interruptions to the things that they were being trained in, I'm believing that the training is what overrules the interruption. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because the word of Yah says that if they're trained up in the way that they should go, then when they are old, they won't depart. My prayer is that even those that are not my children, those that became my children in another season, those that became a part of my world and I became a part of their world, that the things that they saw will not damage them and cause them great harm, that their minds will be transformed by the words that were spoken to them out of the word, of the very foundation of the word that was given to them. Those seeds would take root, and that they would choke out the life of the things that were given to them by, you know, they weren't necessarily discussions, but some things they caught. They weren't necessarily taught them purposefully, but some things they caught. So we're praying that the thing that was taught chokes out the thing that was caught if it was against the thing that was taught. And so that's just my position in this hour. And so that thing came up, and it was really important to me to begin to go back and to address those places. And so I'm encouraging families, as you're listening to the series, that you would begin to go back and begin to retrace some things and begin to tear down some altars and deal with the altars that have been erected and deal with the covenants that have been made, that we would begin to come out of alignment with former covenant situations, and that the children that have been exposed to these places are not damaged and utterly affected by these things that they've seen, but that the Father who allowed us to give them the word on the matter would be the same Father that allows the seed to grow exponentially and, again, choke the life of those things that would attempt to be tares that grow beside it. So instruction is imperative for keeping the gate. Instruction regarding access and denial. It's the one thing man in his unregenerate state, and this is how you can always determine and identify the state of a man. Hear me very closely. How you can keep your gates. Listen to this. How you can identify the very state of a man. When I say man, I'm not just dealing with men. I'm not just dealing with Adam as in the male part of Adam. I'm dealing with mankind. How you can identify the state of mankind, of man, is to identify thinking, how they think, how they process things. So the word unregenerate, the Holy Spirit gave me the word unregistered as well. It's the one thing man in his unregenerate state, his unregistered state, can endure, and that's being told what to do. That's being given instruction. You can always identify the condition and the state of a heart, of a mind, based on their ability to follow instructions. First, the instructions of Yah, and then the instructions of godly counsel. You can always identify. There are people in the earth, they're very argumentative. Everything is about a fight for them. They don't even see the joke in what you're saying, even if you're laughing out loud. They don't even see the joke or hear the joke or the frivolity in your voice, even if you're having a conversation with them. They become very defensive. Why? Because there's something in them that is at war with you. And because you identify that there's a war with you, you can also identify that there's something working in them that is against where you're operating in. If you are a son of Yah who has decided to operate in the things of Yah, can always identify. That's the one thing that men that are of an unregenerated state or an unregistered state, meaning unregistered with heaven, cannot endure, and that's being told what to do. When you look at the Hebrew children in Jeremiah 44, there's a conversation that Jeremiah is having after they've done all of this setup of this idolatry, after they have taken on the lifestyle of idolatry. They're dealing with Baal and Ashtaroth. They are actually worshiping these gods that they have no clue what they're doing, but they're following the example that's been set in the nations before them that have been dispossessed. The very thing that the Father instructed them not to do is the thing that they're functioning in, and they are declaring that we are blessed because of it, and we are increased because of it. And only when we stop doing what we're doing now do we feel the issue. Do we feel disconnected from these things that we possess? That's when it seems like everything goes downhill. But what they don't understand is that the instruction that the Father gave them is directly opposed to the instruction that the enemy has given them. And when they're operating in the enemy's instruction, he's releasing trinkets and beads to keep them in some forms of captivity. But when they walk off from that place with the trinkets and beads and go back to the Father, then that adversary that was providing, that had become their source, is now no longer their source. So everything that they provided them with the strings attached to their soul has now been diminished. And so now they have to get into proper alignment with the Father to receive the authentic blessing of Yah that makes rich and has no sorrow. But they're not willing to do that because they don't want to follow the instruction. They've been given everything they need to live a successful life. They've been given everything that they need to live a godly life, as they've been separated for the very purpose of Yah in the earth, and he has chosen them to make them an example to all the nations, but they refuse to follow the instruction. When we look in the scripture, we also see often, and we'll talk more in depth about this on the next time that we come, on next Friday. When we look at this, we also see how in the various Proverbs, there's a conversation about binding some things around the neck, putting them in the frontlet. You know, the Father began to talk to his children. He said, listen, I want you to wear it on your person. You know, allow it to be something that's a reminder to you. When he's talking about the frontlets in between the eyes, he's not talking about what the Hebrews went and took and made these little boxes. I don't remember what they're called right now. But when they do that, that's not the thing that he was talking about. He was talking about the mind. He was talking about the light. Let it be your light. Let it be the thing that you're pondering on, that you're thinking on, that you're meditating on, to observe, to do the thing, not just putting something in a box and putting it on your person, on your arm. I don't remember what it's called right now, but it's something that I remember often. Not just something that you're putting on your physical person, but something that you put in your physicality, not on it, but in it, so that you will be in the right position to keep your gate. You understand what I'm saying? And so when we look at the Hebrew children, they were refusing the conversation of Jeremiah. They said, listen, everything that we decided to do, that's what we're going to do. Our hands have done it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stick to it, because every time we leave off from this place to do something else, it seems like we're losing. You understand? So see the covenants even made between Yah and mankind. You know, look at the covenant that he made with Adam. Was Adam willing and available to follow that instruction? He lost his former estate. He was kicked out of the garden. He lost his position as a god in the earth and gave his authority over to an adversary, and also allowed his wife to be compromised and her seed to be her womb to be compromised by bearing another seed, which was Cain. Are you hearing me? Which was the twin of Abel. Okay. And these are of two different seeds. Now, that's scientifically proven, that a woman can have a seed of two different kinds and form children of two different seeds. okay? But at the end of the day, the enemy was all about that. And this is what made the woman the adversary, the greatest adversary of the enemy. And the Father declares to her that your seed shall bruise his head, but his seed shall bruise the heel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's where that whole dynamic came from. But again, the Father was the original keeper of the gates. What is he doing in these times when he's having conversation and he's making covenant arrangements with his sons? He's making covenant arrangements with his people so that the gates can be kept, so that the thing that the Father's released to them, the blessing that he's released to them, is managed properly and it's perpetual throughout their generation. Adam gets kicked out of the garden before he even has children. He's kicked out. His children don't even get an opportunity to live in this perfect place. They don't even get an opportunity to live in this place that the Father created with his own hands and his own words increased and brought to a place. You understand what I'm saying? Look at Noah. Noah was one that was willing to abide by the instructions of Yah. Had Noah not abided by the instructions of Yah, his whole family, including himself, would have been lost in that flood. But because he was able to hear instruction, he was able to keep the gates of his family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In order for them to get to the place where they could be used to create the next foundation for mankind. They could be the seed for the rest of mankind in that moment. Abraham, the same thing. He calls him out of his father's house. He says, listen, what's going on? Abraham's father has become a gatekeeper for wickedness. He's become a gatekeeper for diabolic forces. Nimrod is the king of that hour, and Abraham's father, Terah, is the chief idol maker. He is actually keeping the gates of idolatry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the Father calls Abraham out of that place. Abraham, who actually was able to spend time with his grandfather Noah, great-grandfather Noah, and Shem, some of the sons of Noah. Okay, he was actually able to hear of the stories. He was actually able to be passed down something that would allow his gates to be kept. You know, he wasn't just out of the blue who he was. He was who he was because of those that were before him that actually managed and were judges and were protectors of his gates. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at Moshe. Same thing with Moses. You know, he's given an instruction, and he's given an instruction to observe, to do this thing, to go back and to bring deliverance to a people whose cry has come up to the Father. And Abraham's whole focus is going back to this people and bringing them out. But in the process of bringing them out, there are a lot of things that are going on, and he has to actually come into a dimension where he has to manage their gates, because they're hearing and they're seeing a lot of things. They've heard and they've seen a lot of things, and they've realized a lot of things. And so in their realization and hearing and seeing, they become a people that have beholden to. I don't have wipes, baby. They're in the box in the living room. They have become beholden to their slavery. And so his whole purpose is to bring them out of those gates and to bring them into a dimension where they recognize that they're being kept inside of gates. Listen, cloud by day, fire by night is keeping them. There's always a separation, a gate that's between them and their adversary, keeping that which should not be out of their presence and keeping them inside of. When you look at the dimension of that existence. Okay, let me kiss it for you. Okay, close my door. Close my door and tell Nana you need your diaper changed. Close my door. Love you. My door is there as a mechanism to keep out what needs to be kept out while I'm doing my broadcast and to keep me in here doing what I got to do. However, I don't have a lock on that particular gate, but that's just another example of what I'm talking about. The ability to keep out and to keep in. And so this is important. On earth as it is in heaven, when you look at Matthew chapter 6, the master begins to teach and to train the disciples how to supplicate, how to have a conversation with the Father. And one of the things that he begins to talk about is this whole, the kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we're talking about kingdom coming, that means it has to leave the realm that it's in to enter another realm. You know, when we talk about these things, we look at, it brought me to this remembrance of Jacob or Jacob, when he, in Genesis chapter 28, when he began to declare, surely this Yah is in this place, and I was clueless about him being here. It really was the gate of heaven. You know, you got this, you're seeing this ladder, you're seeing this dimension opened up, and there is a moving out of one dimension into the next. It says that the angel of Yah, the angels of Yah are ascending. No, it says ascending and descending. I want to get it right because this is important. They are ascending and descending, you know, and this is dealing with gates. When I think of gates, I think of portals, I think of doors, I think of all of that. And we're actually in that season still of the divine gates, doors, and portals that the Father is opening, but also those forces of diabolic nature are opening gates and doors. And so how do we manage to keep our gates? When you look at Job, you see that Job had a hedge of protection. That was a gate. That was something that was keeping him in and keeping things out. But that gate was compromised by decisions that he made. It was compromised by things that he was connected to. We were talking about that just a little bit earlier. You know, the fact that I had connected to some specific people, you know, maritally, and that affected my family. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so when we look at this place, notice anytime prophets are being spoken to, there's a beckoning for them to come up. So this gated place, this gated community, I'm going to talk about a gated community for a minute because this is a perfect example. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you think about a gated community, you're thinking about a specific caliber of people. Okay, but wealth doesn't start in a pocket, it starts in the mind of man. So when we're talking about gates, we got to deal with all of those different nuances. Okay, notice that anytime prophets are being spoken to from the heavenly realm, there is a beckoning to come up. That's entering another realm, entering another reality, a door, a gate, all connected to the mind, the heart, the emotions, not just surface sensory mechanisms, but a calling to depths of things. And so since we're on that note, let me go to my other notes here because I want to deal with that part right there. Let's look at this. Almost every conversation regarding relationship, which is the very fiber of our existence. Relationship is the very fiber of our existence. We got to understand that. I want to go up for a minute. I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to have you turn to a verse in a minute. Yah is calling his sons to a place of understanding and clarity with regard to all that we do. First things must be first. And I'm seeing this constantly in this season. And I believe that the Father is calling us into the dimension of his law and his order. That means we've got to come out of the gates of other doors and unlawfulness or things that are illegal. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And we've got to come into the proper place so that we can be kept, okay? First things must be first. Priorities must be valued in this season. And you guys know I use this verse all the time. I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 14. I think that's the verse. It talks about the first things being first. It talks about... It specifically talks about, I'm hearing my grandson holler in the other room, and it's very distracting. It specifically speaks to the fact that hearing the conclusion, thank you, Holy Spirit, the conclusion of the whole matter. That's also found in Ephesians chapter 12. Okay, so let's go to Ephesians chapter 12, and then we'll find the original verse. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 12 really quickly. Ephesians 12, 9 through 14. Ephesians 12. 9 through 14. Hallelujah. I'm putting it in now. Yep, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 is, that's the original place that's found. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Okay, but I want you to go right now to Ephesians 12. Hold on 1 second, I'm turning to it still. Ephesians 12. I'm going to read it here. Ephesians chapter 12. Are you there? I'm getting there. I don't know why my thing is putting chapter 3 in. Let's go beyond that. Oh, you know what? No. I was doing the right thing. Hold on. Because I'm looking at verses, and I'm confusing my verses with my chapters right now. Give me a second. Give me a second, family, because there's only up to Ephesians chapter 6, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, I need it to make sense in my own ears here. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes, let's go there. I think that's what I was intending to write there. Ecclesiastes 12. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes 12. I want to start actually at this verse 1 because that's a priority verse that I teach young people that come in contact with me. That's like a priority for me to teach them this verse. And this verse says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows are darkened. I just want to mention that you guys can go back and look at that in your own time. That's not the verse that I wanted to go to, but because it was there and it was calling me, I wanted to make mention of that because we're going to talk about the conclusion of the whole matter. The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear Yah and to keep his commandments, right? But this is the foundation of that, remembering. You know, remembrance. And so how does a remembrance get passed down? How does a remembrance continue or carried on? It's passed down throughout the family, throughout the generations. It's passed down. And that mandate or that purpose for that family is fulfilled because through the generations, that mandate or that information is being passed down. That is the responsibility of a gatekeeper to make sure the information that is necessary for the family to follow and fulfill the purpose. You know, we're so far away from family fulfilling purpose in this hour because we've been trained in a system of this world system where the enemy desires us to be scattered in our thoughts, scattered in our minds, scattered and not unified, where we don't understand. Very few young people understand the necessity of carrying on a family business, of functioning in a family business. I've got children right now who are understanding and coming to that dimension. I haven't had a conversation with my oldest daughter, but however, she's picking up this mantle of the soap business as well. You know, it's nothing that I ever talked to her about. It's nothing that I ever sat down and talked with her about before she started having that desire. But there is the father, I believe, is bringing families back into generational wealth creation because people are concerned about what is the purpose of the family in the earth? Not just what is my purpose in the earth, but no, what is the course? What was just like the enemy can take and make an iniquitous system or create an iniquitous cycle in a family. That was the father's intent, was to create a cycle of divine blessing, but it would perpetuate from the thing that he put on that family to carry out. So look at the powers that think they be. Look at the families. Look at the generations and look at how they're handing down from generation to generation the very purpose that they were formed. They understand the purpose. And I can speak to some of these different lineages because it's not a secret. It's a well-known fact. And so the things that I'm going to state now are for the sake of conversation, for the sake of argument, for the sake of education. When you look at families like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, when you look at these different families, when I say the name Ford, you automatically have an identification on that family's lineage. When I say Walmart, you understand that that family is involved in a specific thing, but we're so far away from that because the enemy has given us a bill of goods that says everybody can be whatever they want to be. Matter of fact, I'm going to make sure that this family line is so confused because everybody's so excited and enamored over stuff. They're excited and enamored over their own things. They're not concerned about the things of others. They're not concerned about what is the whole. What is the unification about? And what's the purpose of unifying a unified front to accomplish what task? He's so convoluted, that whole concept, that people start making comments like every tub stand on its own bottom. And if there's a word before that, it starts with a D. Something that I heard in my family, let every tub stand on its own bottom. Okay, that sounds great, but every tub standing on its own bottom is the formation of the one that creates that whole thing. There is no tub that can stand on the bottom except it first be formed and be put on the legs that it's supposed to stand on. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So these are important. Let's go ahead and go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's look at verses 9 through 14. Let's look at them. It says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. This is imperative that we understand that the instruction that is given is for the purpose of us being able to function in the right place and out of the right place. It says the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. Listen, words we have sayings like, sticks and stones may break my bones and words can never hurt me. Those things are not true. Yes, sticks and stones will break your bones and words will cause great damage. It says here that the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. In other words, those masters that are assembling this thing, they are intentionally fastening these words of wisdom to like nails. They're fastening it to this assembly, which are given from one shepherd. They're taking these words and they become something that's fastened to. You remember, I go back to the verse where I was talking about how the wisdom began to say, wear it on your wrist, wear it on your arm, put it around your neck like a necklace, wear it between the frontlets of your eyes. All of these different things are discussing the fact that this is something that you should carry with you. When we start talking about something that's fastened to something, it's not easily removed after it's fastened with nails. It has to be actually pried out of that position in order to be taken away. So look at this. It says, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. We'll come back to that next week. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is where I want to get to. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Yah shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The whole conclusion of the matter is that we fear the Father and keep his commandments. What are the commandments? What is this fear about? It's about reverence. It's about identifying and valuing who he is, and then recognizing that what he has to say is of great value to existence. Our very existence and our very life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that is important. When you look at that, you got to go back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We want to bring some more scripture to you next week, but we want to just kind of lay this foundation. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to look at this. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I don't want to overload you tonight. I want to give you foundational stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9. It says this, and this is the thing that I've been talking about. So we're going to give these to you now. I'm going to start at verse 4. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 1, okay? Because it's discussing with and dealing with the commandments, which are the instructions. You got to look at it for what it is. Commandments are instructions. The law of Yah is the command of Yah, which are the instructions that he's given to us to live by. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is very simple. It's not difficult. It says, now these are the commandments. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commandments, that the statutes and the judgments Yah your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. So instruction is given post-inheritance. I need to give you the instructions that you need so you can inherit and inherit well, so that you can manage and manage well. Look back at Adam, the first Adam in the garden. I need to give you this instruction so that you can inherit and inherit well, so that you can manage and manage well. Look at the second Adam. He's coming out of the baptismal situation with John, and he's led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Why? So that he can be tempted in all points like as we are. He's not above the temptation, because he came as us so that we could live as him. But he's led into that place, and he's led into that place, and he manages well. Hello. He manages that place well. He guards that place. Yeah, he inherits this place that he's in. He causes his adversary to go away for a season. Why? Because he's managing this inheritance so well that nothing can get in. Are you understand what I'm saying? Look at this. It says here that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear Yah thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son. What is this? What does this show us? What does this denote? It denotes that something is being passed down from generation to generation. So now we've got to begin to identify the things that have been passed down from generation to generation and begin to go back and deal with covenants and go back and deal with altars and go back and deal with these things that have been erected in the family lineage. Maybe some things that we never knew were erected, but how you can begin to identify what's been erected is by looking at the manner, looking at the custom, looking at the culture of the family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It says here that that thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. In other words, how you're going to lengthen your days is by sharing the thing that I've released, by releasing my command, by teaching my statutes, teaching this instruction, giving this instruction to generations after you is what's going to prolong your life. This is why I love what I do, because it positions me to be able to continue to pass down this kingdom authority, pass down this kingdom instruction, so that those that are hearing and those that are under the sound of my voice can begin to perpetuate, no matter where they are in the world, no matter where they are operating from in the entire world, they can begin to perpetuate these customs, this culture, this kingdom culture, where they are. He said, listen, your days will be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. So it's not just about hearing. Keeping the gates is not just about conversation, but it's about manifestation. It's not just about conversation, but it's about actualization. And so we have to be wise about the conversation, because what we're releasing is what's going to be actualized, whether now or after people have been processed, it's going to at some point be actualized. It says, hear therefore and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. Listen, your wellness is connected to your ability to hear and to do what I'm speaking to you. This is what the Father says. As Yah, your God, the God of your fathers, has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Listen to this. Hear, O Israel. Yah, our God, is one God, and thou shalt love him with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We're going to talk about the heart in a minute. And thou shalt teach them. Listen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Teaching is going to flow from what's in the heart. What is abundantly in your heart is what you're going to teach with your mouth. But your teaching is not just a mechanism for conversation. It's a mechanism for demonstration. So your teaching is not just what you're saying, but it's what you're doing. And all of those things are being watched. All of those things are being identified. And whether people are hearing you say in the wrong place that this is the right thing to do, they're catching it even though they're not being physically taught it. So this is important. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, there is not an inopportune time to have conversation about my instruction. This is the beginning of keeping the gates, the conversation, which is why we were talking about from the beginning that language is the thing that is ushering, that will usher people into a place where they are either breaking through or they are denied access. Language is everything. We've got to understand the language so that we can behold what's being spoken to do the thing that we've been commanded to do. And so it says here, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate, and it shall be, when Yah your God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Listen, managing the gates causes us to come into places that we didn't have to physically and mentally create ourselves. That managing the gates properly, family gatekeepers assist us with managing the gates properly so that we can come into the inheritance of things and not necessarily something that we had to physically build. So let's go back to that statement. Every tub stand on its own darn bottom. Not darn, but the other word. Every tub should stand on its own darn bottom. Well, guess what? Even the tub, again, needs the formation. It needs to be poured. It needs to be given the proper legs to stand on. It needs to pour, has to go into the form and be poured in order to become the tub that it needs to be. But that tub also holds what gets in it. So when we look at tubs and standing on bottoms, even the tubs that are speaking are required to hold something in it besides water. So So I'm teaching you to be a tub like me is what the conversation should really be about. I am a tub, and I hold you, and I got you. And you know, but I'm a tub like me so that others can get in you and be cleansed, as others can get in you and be in that place of rest and solace and recovery because of your waters. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is important. This is important. What verse am I in here? Okay, here we go. And the houses, verse 11, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget Yah, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. This is why keeping the gates is so important, because our eyes, our mouths, our ears, all of those things are the places that can either hear the instruction of Yah or be compromised by something that somebody else is speaking. When we look back into the garden, we see that the Father's had a conversation, and he's also proven himself. So he's been visible, he's been audible, and he's been conversational. You understand what I'm saying? They've communicated back with him, but something else enters the gates. This shining one enters those gates, and it's compromised because Adam now is not keeping the gate properly. He's not watching. He is not protecting. And the command that he was given was to dress and to keep the garden. That means to cultivate the environment, to keep and to cultivate the environment. That means you're protecting a thing. That means you are expanding on a thing. But you're expanding from the platform that's already been built. But here comes this adversary who wants to bring another conversation. And he wants to make things visibly different, you know, so that now Eve is looking upon this fruit and it appears to be the thing that would make one wise. It looks like something. Her perception has changed about everything because the conversation has been altered. And she's allowed access to this conversation. Okay? Look here. It says, verse 12, Deuteronomy 6, 12, then beware lest I forget Yah, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Listen, instruction will bring you out of captivity. We talked about Moshe already and how he went back and he was giving the instructions to the Hebrew children, and how him giving them those instructions and their ability to hear and to heed those instructions and to actualize those instructions is what brought them out of their captive place. Listen, thou shalt fear Yah thy God and serve him, and thou shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the people which are round about you. We just came out of this place of Passover. We know that Passover and Easter is the nemesis of Passover. But a lot of people who say they are believers or keepers of the way follow Ishtar Sunday, and they don't follow the Passover dimension that the Father's given to his sons to bring them from that place that they were in last year into the new dimensions and prophetically launch them into the future. You understand what I'm saying? And so we look at this here. He says, listen, don't do what you see that's happening around you. But guess what? That's because these gates, they are a boundary point. Even when the Father blesses them and they are called to go into inheritance, he begins to talk to them about the keeping of the gates. Listen, this is your boundary. You look at a gate as a boundary line. You know, this is your boundary. From here to here belongs to you. Even when they were coming out of their captivity and passing through some lands, the Father began to talk to them and say, don't touch that. I gave that to Ishmael. Don't touch that. I gave that. You know what I'm saying? I gave that to what's Jacob's brother? I gave that to Esau. Don't touch that. I gave that to this one. I gave that to that one. Because you got to keep the gates. The gates have to be kept. There are boundaries, even to the inheritance, even to the blessing. So it says here, you shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. For Yah, your God, is a jealous God among you. Let the anger of Yah, thy God, be kindled against thee and destroy thee from the face of the earth. What we're looking at right now as it pertains to family lineages, we're looking at a lot of things that have become iniquitous generators for generations. And this thing has kindled a fire. It's kindled the anger of Yah. But there has to be somebody. There's always somebody that he's sending into the family lineage to begin to interrupt patterns and to begin to interrupt some things. I believe that this series is going to be an interrupter of those things that have been trying to come through your gates, those things that have even gotten through your gates. We're going to begin to rebuild some things and to fortify the gates so that things are not able to just simply pass through them. Now, you understand what I'm saying? So we're looking at here, and I want to say this, almost every conversation regarding relationships, which is the very fiber of our existence. We know this. Relationship is the fiber of our existence because the Father first declared and decreed you, and then your parents breed you. That's how this works. The Father decrees and declares you, and then your parents breed you. I say this, I've been saying this a lot lately, and I think it's such a powerful statement because it helps us to come into identification of the Father's purpose concerning some things. But the Father gave me this word. He said, when you were born into the world, you were born into a world full of people. I think that's so important to understand, that when you recognize that you were not born into a world by yourself, you were not just released into earth by yourself, you were released into an earth full of other people, that means that relationship is a priority for the Father. Relationship is a priority in the kingdom of Yah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Everything which is began should begin on the premise of in the beginning, Yah. And see, when we begin to operate from that premise of in the beginning, Yah, those of you who've been following me, you know this is one of the things that the Father began to speak to me some years ago. This is important because how you begin a thing will decide its continuation or its termination. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All of those factors are going to be decided by how a thing begins. If you begin it because the Father instructed it, if you begin it because God said it, are you hearing what I'm saying? If he's the foundation of that thing that you're, he's the foundation of that formation, then it's going to be sustained because it's built on a rock. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I want to look at this real quick. As I was studying, and these again are foundational points, and then we're going to go ahead and get off here because I think I'm giving you more than enough. I don't want to overload you. It's one of the things that I'm coming into an understanding of in this season. We, you know, as apostles, as prophets, as the hand of Yah in the earth, all of these things that we call the fivefold, those that have been called to the front to begin to release a thing, sometimes we have to be very mindful. This is even a way to keep gates, because when you're keeping gates, you don't want to give too much. You want to give what people need to be able to process how to manage things. You want to give them, you know, how to process. You don't want to bombard their processor. You know, oftentimes when you bombard a processor, it'll become overheated. And so I don't want to overheat you today. I don't want to give you too much. You understand what I'm saying? I want to give you enough so that you can begin to grow by, to go by and to grow by. You understand what I'm saying? This, as I was looking at gatekeepers, let's look at a couple of things here. Did I write those definitions here? Yeah, I did. I want to define gates for you. A gate is a hinged barrier. I want you to identify that word barrier. We're going to come back to it. It's used to close. I want you to underline, strike underlines under that, multiple underlines. Close. An opening. I want you to circle opening. In a wall, fence, or hedge. I want you to underline those words, wall, fence, and hedge, okay? And when I began to deal with this gate situation, there were some other words that came up to me regarding gates. And some of those things were doors. We'll talk about that. Other things were porters. The other thing was matrix. And we're going to get into some more details about these things. I'm going to try not to overload you, but I want to give you those things so that you can begin to go and look into these things. A gate, this is the definition that the Holy Spirit gave me. A gate is an opening which allows entrance or exit. It is a place of exchange, the place of transaction, the place where a thing is either allowed entry or denied entrance or exit. The threshold of transaction, I want you to underline threshold. Access is an important factor when discussion of gates is a topic, okay? Underline that access piece. We talked about access a little bit already. There are gates both natural and spiritual, and where convergence of those two take place is at conversation and covenant, also known as agreement. Conversation and covenant, okay? I mentioned this before. I'm going to read it as I wrote it. The gatekeepers of this world exercise control over the economic sectors, technological sectors, religious sectors, and many other sectors, all to control the private sector of the minds of men. And we know how that works if we look in the garden. He wants to deal in the mind of the matter. Okay? That's why training up the children, training up the family in the way that it should go, training it up so that when it gets older, as it matures, it won't depart from its training. It'll reset. It'll come back to the trained place. Okay? I'm going to look at my notes really quickly. I think I'm going to end the broadcast here. We're at 44 minutes left of the broadcast, and I think I want to end it here because I don't want to overload you. Again, hallelujah. Let's look at here. Yeah, we're going to end it here because this is important. We're going to get into some discussion about the matrix and the porter, and we'll get into some discussions about the doors. As we're talking about the gates, these are all very important words, and we're going to begin to identify the nature of those that keep these gates. We're going to identify the nature of how the family gatekeepers are supposed to operate. How the gatekeeper is supposed to operate. We're gonna begin to discuss that next week. And I want to let you go now so that you can begin to possibly even go back over the broadcast. If you have not taken notes, you're going to need to do that because I want you to follow closely what we're talking about in this hour. And this is, again, another one of those places where I believe that the Father is going to have us begin to deal in manuscript, because there's something that I pulled up. I was reading some things, and I was just not in complete and total agreement with these things that were being discussed about the gatekeepers. And so, the scribe is the one that the Father is in giving inspiration for generation. So we've got to begin to pick up our pen or use our fingers to do the typing, do the talking to the page so that it can be scribed and it can be printed so that it can be in the hands of those that will hear us. Those that can't see us should be able to read us. And I believe that that's the hour that we're in. Listen, I appreciate you being here with me for Building Family and listening to part one of Family Gatekeepers. Listen, if you have any questions, if there's anybody that's listening by way of radio, or if you're not online and you're attempting to listen and you'd like to have conversation, maybe you called into the line. I'm going to give about 5 minutes for conversation. And then after that 5 minute period, I'm going to let the music play to the end and we're going to end this broadcast. Father, we give you glory right now for the word that you've given us. And we're thankful that you're causing us to have understanding in this hour that brings illumination to our situation so that we will begin to operate as we need to operate as sons of manifestation, that we will begin to operate as sons that are judging matters and sons that are identifying and defining the things that are happening so that we can bring into judgment and bring into captivity those things that are opposing the very word that you have spoken concerning our family lineages. Father, we thank you that the gates have been rebuilt. We thank you that the gates have been placed back up to the walls, even the walls that have been torn down. We thank you for the rebuilding of the walls, Father. And we thank you for the gates being fortified and for watchers. We'll talk about this next week. Watchers being placed at those gates, those that would give the decree, those that would sound the alarm, those that would have conversation and release the sound to identify what's approaching the gate. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise right now that you're bringing us into this place where we can begin to identify what has bombarded the gates, and we can begin to remove out of our habitations those things that have bombarded our gates in other seasons, that our lands would be purified again, that those things that have been done in the secret place, done in the dark, that diabolic natures have funded and fueled, that the nations before us that have been dispossessed, that are being dispossessed before us, even as you are giving us land, as you are giving us territory in this hour, that we would not do as those nations that are against you, that serve their gods idly, that we would not imitate those manners and those customs and those behaviors and those cultures. But Father, we would remember your instruction. We will remember your instruction in this hour to observe, to do the thing that you have given us, that we would have good success in everything, that our lives would be prolonged, and that our seed would be blessed. We glorify you now, and we magnify you now, and we call it done. I'm going to put the music on for about 5 minutes. If anybody desires to say a word or has any questions, we're going to end the broadcast. If you don't have any questions and within that 5-minute period, you're not saying anything, I'm going to end the broadcast and I'm going to see you next week. Definitely make sure that you share the broadcast. Make sure that you invite somebody, that you bring your family around this conversation next week concerning the Family Gatekeepers, part two. We want to talk about these things in depth, and we want to begin to release some more that the Father has given us for this hour concerning the faith for your family. We love you so much. I'll be back if you've got a question. If not, I want you to remember our mantra in this season, that the body is not a me thing, it's a we thing. The Father is calling the family, the body, to a unified front, that the gates might be kept and that the walls would be manned in this hour, that the enemies would be kept out and be dealt with before they even approach the gates, and that which is inside will be managed properly, and that it will be kept and protected. You understand what I'm saying? This is what the Father is calling us to, and it's going to take us as a family to keep the gates. I love you so much. We'll talk real soon. Thank you.